So building off what we've been doing for the past couple weeks, we've been talking about risking your life to save someone else, and we basically established that you're not chayv to risk your life. Now the question is are you ever allowed to? What about really, really huge risks? Like, let's say you're not a fireman, and you see a burning building and you hear screams inside, and there's no one else inside. Are you allowed to jump into that situation and go into that burning building knowing that you have no idea what you're doing? Knowing you can very likely die because you want to save that person's life. So remember, we're talking about there's no chidur. Would you be allowed to? What do you guys think? Who thinks by raising hands that you would not be allowed to?
I think it depends on the chance.
Okay, so it depends on the chance. What are you thinking?
You don't know how to save a person. Like, you could bring the whole building down and kill yourself and everybody else. Like,
so let's say the only concern here is about your life. I mean, let's say they're for sure going to die.
Like, you don't know what you're doing.
Okay, fine. So basically, this is just irresponsible.
Yeah.
What do you think, Sean?
I think that the Chabahem doesn't sound like it's giving a suggestion for meals and tears. It sounds like it's
So it's not a heter, it's a chiv. We're going to get to that. Very good, Sean. What do you think, Sean?
I was just very similar to him that, I know, it's just like you can't commit suicide because it's not your
life. So this is basically borderline suicide.
Yeah,
so exactly. So we can talk about that. So now the question is, are you allowed to commit suicide to save someone else? And, you know, that's going to be another question, which we'll get to now. Let's say, are you allowed to give up your life to save someone else? So you're not allowed to choose between two people. You can't say, okay, I'm going to kill this person to save another person. But are you allowed to give up your own life?
You said before, you buy the same star of my cousin.
Exactly. So it depends. Is my cousin saying you have no right to choose that person's life over your own? To choose your life over that person's life? Or is my chazal saying that you have no right to choose one life over another? I mean, you can't make the cheshbon. You're not allowed to decide that you should live over him. You also can't decide he should live over you. You just are not allowed to make the choice. Now, what about saving Klal Yisrael? If you're not allowed to give up your life to save someone else, are you allowed to give up your life to save the Klal? Or let's make a distinction. The Rabbim and Klal Yisrael, is that the same thing? Let's say saving 20 people. Or let's say saving Klal Yisrael. So who thinks that you, even if you wouldn't be allowed to give up your life to save someone else, you would be allowed to give up your life to save the Rabbim? Who thinks that even if you wouldn't be allowed to save the Rabbim, you would to save Klal Yisrael?
I'm going to like say a different thing. That I don't think that there's ever like a possibility of like needing to save Klal Yisrael specifically from Esther.
Practically. You think practically? Or just fundamentally?
Even if you think that all these Klal Yisrael is going to die, and you know all of Klal Yisrael is going to die, first of all, it's not your responsibility, and second of all...
The Malkom Fenech, what do you mean?
No, but it's...
Exactly. So that's like the technical and fundamental way of getting out of the problem, but Klal Yisrael, when we say saving Klal Yisrael, we don't mean that if you don't do this, every single existing Jew in the entire world is going to die. We're talking about like the masses. Like a Klal... For example, Klal Yisrael is considered to be Klal Yisrael when they're in Eretz Yisrael, right? But let's say they're Jews outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's still considered to have a shame Klal Yisrael because there's a certain concept of where Klal Yisrael has that representation of a shame. So I'm not talking about practically that every single Jew, known and not known, in the whole world is going to die unless you do this. I'm talking about a case where practically hundreds of thousands of people potentially
come Robin, more Robin, like,
so that's what I'm saying. We can create Robin, we create more Robin, we create like literally every Jew in the world. So we're never going to be talking about that case. When I talk about clients, well, I'm talking about more of a cheftza where it transcends just a large group or a town, and it becomes like a club. It becomes much more of a larger, you know, kind of metaphysical unit.
Yeah. I guess two side would be when we say that my chazes that your blood is better than his. Is that saying? When it's one person against another person, you can't compare. But,
exactly.
Let's say, two,
exactly.
Two or more against
is
one.
Is it that you can never make a cheshbon? Exactly. Is it that you can never make a cheshbon? Or is it that one-to-one, you can't know? But you could make cheshbonos. So we'll talk about this later on in the year when it comes to sacrificing the few to save the many. Is it true that my chazos one-to-one, but you could say my chazos when it comes to the masses? Or you can never make that decision at all? Very good. So, moving on to another very interesting question, are you allowed to violate Gili Urayos to save the masses? So, we're going to talk about Esther, but here is a fascinating case which was asked in Nud Yehuda and the Beis Yaakov. a group of Jews, let's say 100 Jews, were surrounded by Goyim. And the Goyim were going to kill all the Jews. But a woman, let's say she was an attractive woman, knew that she could seduce the leader of this band and save her fellow Jews. But she'd be having Arias, so she's a married woman. So she'd be having Arias with this man. The question, obviously asked it, you know, retroactively, was, are you allowed to do that to save all those other Jews? To save the Rabbim, are you allowed to violate Gilui Raos? There's another interesting case of an Israeli spy who was forced to proactively initiate a sexual relationship with an enemy woman in order to get some needed information from her. And the question is, halachically, is that allowed? Are you allowed to have violated Gilui Raos, assuming, let's say, you know, he was married, assuming he's Jewish, is he allowed to violate Arias in order to save the masses? This information could theoretically save hundreds, thousands, who knows what it could do.
Well, it doesn't make a difference if he's married.
Of course it does.
I mean, philosophically.
Well, I'm saying, but, yeah. I'm saying, assuming, assuming that she's Jewish, assuming that he's Jewish, assuming that one of them are married.
Assuming the woman is married.
Even still, it's not as bad for a man to have sex with another woman even if he's married than it's for a woman to have sex with a man if she's married.
Okay, good. Why? Just, you know.
Because we have to have more people.
Exactly. So it depends on what the, you know, the regeret from what his takana actually was and what actually luckily happened after that takana. But I hear what you're saying.
So ask you, if you're allowed to risk your life in war, then you should also be allowed.
So is this considered war? Now, when it comes to war, we talk about different halakhic reality in terms of v'chai behem, in terms of murder, but you're not allowed to do anything. And we could talk about the aspects of Arias, which seemingly are mutter in terms of war, but that's a whole different category. And the question is this considered war? Also, the hector in terms of during war is that it's a completely different halakhic reality. Can you really apply that to espionage? Does it really have that chalos mocham? But I hear what you're saying. It's a very interesting note.
Yosef says, like, deal with the guy, what level of...
Exactly.
Is that a
rival? Exactly.
So
I was going to say, that's going to come up with our Esther discussion of bias akum, of what status that has. Is that considered to be a rival? Is, you know, zera of a guy considered zera kasusim? It's not even considered zera at all. Is it even a maisa bias? Is it chalos avera? Etc. So before we start to really develop an answer to any of these questions, we need to understand what the nature of the big three is. We need to understand the nature of why you're allowed to violate any of Eros in general to save your life. So we've been discussing this whole year about saving your life, giving up your life, risking your life, violating Eros, violating mitzvahs. Why are you allowed to violate an Eros to save your life? We did this. What's the svara? V'chai behem. Now the question is, and this is really important for everything we're going to do today, so listen very closely, what is v'chai behem doing? Is it doing anything? And Yisrael actually alluded to this a couple weeks ago. There are two options for what v'chai behem does. Number one is that it knocks out the avera. V'chai behem is basically Hashem saying that when it comes to saving your life, you can override the avera. The avera gets knocked out. There's no avera anymore. A goy says, eat this bacon burger or I'll kill you, there's no issur to eat the bacon burger anymore. Right? It actually becomes completely mutter. There's no avira there. Another option, though, is that v'chai behem is saying that aviros are not yahar v'yavur. That no avira is bad enough for you to give up your life for, and therefore you can violate the avira to save your life. The avira stays there, but there's no onesh, and you don't have to give up your life. It's basically a patur. It's a hector, and it's being megale a sod. It's being megale a very important fundamental principle, which is that you don't need to give up your life for mitzvah. Yeah.
Are we
going to
say that v'chai behem is like a drasha, or is it like a separate mitzvah to say? The separate mitzvah to say, we can say that we can then make it more general of asi do chalos asay.
Ah, so we're going to talk about whether v'chai behem is doing something like a tool, right? Or it's kind of, like you're saying, kind of like a drasha, a yui, of the nature of mitzvahs themselves.
I think it's like Eretz Yisrael. It's not counted in the 613 mitzvahs because it's just the reality.
That's what I'm saying, a yui. It's a fundamental yui of the nature of mitzvahs themselves. Every mitzvah inherently has a v'chai behem because you don't have to give up your life. Now the question is, why are the big three different? If every mitzvah is seemingly allowed to violate save your life, why are the big three different? What do you think? Why are the big three different?
I think just from the Lashon, when you say b'chayvem v'loshia muzvem, meaning these mitzvahs were given for life, and then
mm-hmm.
if you do one of them, it's better to do one of them.
Exactly,
than to
but the
die.
Big three, but the big three.
It wouldn't be better to do one of them than to die.
Okay, fine. So one answer is that the chumra is higher. Is that what you're going to say, Yisrael?
Well, no, I was going to say, actually, that you can't say that because some of them have onshim that are not the most chumra of the misos. I mean, there are.
No.
Isn't.
All three of them are chayav miso.
Some arayos are, let's say, only chanak.
Okay, true.
And
first of all, the arayos that.
Shabbos,
so first of all. What?
Shabbos is
not the Yagla Yavah.
Right, so I'm saying it should be.
So it's not about.
It's not
so we talk about different aspects of Chumras Avera. That, first of all, why these, not others? So we can talk about that. Number two is, it's not just about the punishment. It's not about the onesh. Right? So we can talk about Chumras Avera. If we talk about Chumras Avera, the question is why these three? Why not others?
Saying Chumras Avera is not related to Chumras Onesh?
Exactly. That's one answer. Another answer is that there's different levels of hierarchy. But based on what you were just saying, which was in terms of onshin for Arias, the case of the Gemara talks about a case of Arias which is Chaimisper. So we could talk about different types of Arias which theoretically are Nyagla Yavor, but we're not going to go there today. We can spend literally a whole year in Nyagla Yavor, but I want to just get some major principles out so we can develop them into our sugya. But one answer, which is what Ezra was kind of saying, is that there's a Chumras HaAveira here. All other mitzvos, it's better that you violate them than give up your life. These weren't the mitzvos. The purpose of the mitzvos is to connect to Hashem, is to build this world, to build yourself. The mitzvos aren't given for you to die, but certain mitzvos, and therefore it's better to violate the avera and continue to live your life than to give up your life. But certain averas are so bad that it's not worth it in the big picture for you to violate it. It's better that you give up your life and not violate this. Then violate this and continue to live. One second. Hold the question for a second. But, however, that's not the only way to go. Another way to go is that this is just like all other averas, and every avera you're allowed to violate saves your life, except when it comes to these three, which, by the way, are, just so everyone doesn't know, it's killing someone, violating avodah zarah, and gilui arayos. Those are the big three. So when it comes to those three, really, fundamentally, all mitzvahs are the same. But when it comes to these three, there's a kiyum kiddush Hashem to give up your life. / preventing a chil Hashem. And therefore, you have to give up your life. A third option is that because the avera is so bad, because of the chumras avera, that is why there's a kiyum kiddush Hashem to chil Hashem. So it's kind of, it's not two separate things, it's not one or the other, it's kind of building one off of the other. Now, the question is... Yeah, let's take a question first.
I think that it has to be the third one, but it's...
Okay, well, not all Rishon agree with you, and
right,
it never has
think,
to be anything. Let's keep that clear.
But I think it's more of like... it's less of like, you're like weighing these values and which one... It's better for you to have eaten pork than to have died because of all the rest of your life or whatever, because
mm-hmm.
like, who says you're not going to die in an hour? I think it's about an existential, like, valuing of that this, I think it's taking the side that, like, let's say, mitzvos are all means
mm-hmm.
to an end.
Okay.
And they're not like, I don't actually care if you eat pork. God can't actually care if you eat pork, but
mm-hmm.
they're means to an existential end. So if you...
So you're going very much to Kiddush Hashem.
Yeah, but... The reason
but
that
building off
three,
is because of Chumras HaAveira.
Yeah, but the Chumras HaAveira is because they're existentially destroy your being.
Okay. I like that, Shalom. Next thing.
If mitzvah is from a tzibui.
Yeah.
In a general sense, a tzibui is ase or not ase. A tzibui is ase generally. When there is no other circumstance.
We're talking about los ase here.
When there is no other circumstance, that doesn't interfere with the mitzvah.
Okay, fine.
But when I have in this case in which I have to go over an isur, in this category, is it I'm going over an isur, or is it just that I have a tzibui of not doing this, and this becomes a mitzvah?
Mm-hmm.
So if eating pork then becomes a mitzvah for me. Because so, I have an original...
Exactly. So that's what, as we said before, is that v'chayvahem is a commandment. It's now, in this situation, when it comes to saving your life or vowing an aver, you have to save your life. There's no longer an aver at all. It's now a mitzvah, even, like you're saying, a tzivui.
Then I say, shakol yavidvarao.
Yeah. So there's actually a machlokas. So in that case, perhaps. But there's a general machlokas for someone who's actually eating pork, does he make a bracha? Just stop. The guy eats pork. So if you think brachas are because you're getting hana, so yes, if you think brachas is because you're getting permission, then the answer is no. So machlokas Rambam versus Rajah.
Then
it
becomes a mitzvah for me to eat pork.
So that's the question of, is the avera doche or is it hutra? Meaning, is there no avera at all here? Or it now becomes theoretically, like you're saying, a mitzvah pruach nefesh, or are you still violating the avera, but we understand that you're violating it because you're saving your life. That's basically what you're saying.
Is it the discussion if I'm violating an avera, or I'm doing a mitzvah?
Exactly. So it depends on how you define the action. Nate?
Okay. Philosophical ideas come post-facto once we have the halachos.
Mm-hmm.
The halachos themselves, I think the Gemara Sanhedrin has drashos. We have drashos, why you
But what's the nature of the drasha?
The drasha is... Hashem told us that these have a special din, and we can infer after that, you know, what's the theme here?
Exactly. But the question is
why?
It doesn't help us.
Is that
exactly.
the Gorin is that these
exactly.
are
so
common.
So that's the general question of learning in general. All right. The lumdus behind it, are we kind of working backwards, or this is fundamentally the nature of the drasha itself? And that gets into, it's just technical, it's a gzeras hakasav, it's, you know, a takana, it's a gzera, versus there's always depth and ideas behind it, and we're trying to be megala what the ideas are, and fundamentally intrinsic to the nature of the drasha itself.
Which is,
those are both different ways that we shouldn't have approached drashas, which is that it's just a technical gzeras hakasav, versus it has some intrinsic meaning.
But do they say that the actual... Goring and the Chayiv is the philosophy behind the drasha?
So there are...
I don't think we
can talk about this after, because it's complicated, but, you know, it's a discussion. so, let's take a step further, okay? These big three, what's happening by the big three? What's happening? So we talked about three different reasons why you have to give up your life. One is Chumras Havira. The second, and we don't have enough time, but I would love to go through the Gemara. The Gemara is here, Daf Ein Dalel Nach, your first source. It goes through three different verses. I'll just read the first line. Kol Aver Shabbatori Im Omer La'adam Avor Valtarov, Yavor Valyaharik. Chutz Mi'am Lazar Gilorai Shvichusam. So there are all mitzvahs in the Torah you should violate and don't give up your life, except for the big three. Avor Lazar Gilorai Shvichusam. So now let's connect the two ideas we already put forth. One is what happens to all other Averas from V'chai Behem, and the second is what doesn't happen by the big three. So if we think V'chai Behem knocks out the Avera, and that's why you're able to violate the Avera, what's happening by the big three? Why do you have to give up your life? So one answer is that V'chai Behem does not knock out the Avera by the big three. By all other mitzvahs, V'chai Behem knocks out the Avera, but by the big three, the Avera remains. And since the Avera remains, you have to give up your life. Another option, though, is that V'chai Behem knocks out the Avera by the big three, too. But, like we said before, there's still an extra kiyum in Kiddush Hashem, slash preventing a Chilul Hashem by these three cases. However, like Ezra was saying before, it's possible that the Avera doesn't get knocked out, and the Chumras Avera creates a kiyum Kiddush Hashem and slash preventing a Chilul Hashem. So if you look at source number two, the Ramban says that the reason you have to give up your life, what's the reason you give up your life for the big three? Teda, Shere Gimal Averes Ilu HaChamuros, Lo Mipnei Kiddush Hashem Nesru. This is only because of Chumras Haver. Not because of Kiddush Hashem, but the Baal Meor thinks that the reason you give up your life by the big three is because of Kiddush Hashem. However, let's take the next step. If we think that the reason you have to give up, what V'chai Behem does by all of the mitzvahs, why do I violate mitzvahs to save your life? Because V'chai Behem is megala that all mitzvahs are naturally, you can violate them to save your life. No mitzvah should you have to give up your life for. The avira doesn't get knocked out. It remains there, but you just don't have to give up your life. So for the big three, that's not true. The big three is so bad for you, it's so terrible, that you do have to give up your life. Or, like we're saying, that no, there's nothing fundamentally different about the Avera, But now there becomes a kiyum in Kiddush Hashem. So just, and you'll see why we're doing this in a moment. So now, if you turn, yeah.
If for the Baal Horeb says Salah B'Kiddush Hashem, Nami says that even the big three, if it's in a Yavor Valley Hari.
So we'll talk about it. So one option, what he's going to say is that when it comes to the big three, even Bitsina creates a problem in Kiddush Hashem because it'll get out. Meaning, let's build one more very important principle. There are two exceptions to the rule. Does anyone know? There are two cases where you have to give up your life, even when it's not the part of the big three. What are the two situations?
If our Hesia, yeah. Kedil Ha'avir Dato.
If it's for Hesia and?
Kedil Ha'avir Dato.
So the Ha'avir Dato. Yeah, so B'Shashashma. So those are the two.
No, I'm saying for Hesia is only if it's.
No, for Hesia is even if it's just Stam. Oh, you mean just to get to do the Avera?
Yeah.
Good. So there are two cases. In the second case is, like a show is going to say, Shashashma. So one is in public. If a guy comes over to you in public and says, eat this cheeseburger, and it's not one of the big three, but because it's in public, so for some reason, now you have to give up your life. And the second case is Shahrishmad, where there's gezeiros from the government against Klal Yisrael, they're trying to attack our religion, then you have to stand up for Yahdus for anything. Even in life shulis. So the question is, why are these two situations different? What happens by these two situations? What do you guys think? Why do these two situations require you to give up your life?
You could say, well, for
Hesia, Chol Hashem. So for Hesia,
you
could say Chol Hashem. Okay. Shat. So there are two ways of saying it. Number one is the simple way, which is for Hesia is clearly a Chol Hashem, and the Chiddush is that the big three, even Betzina, become a Chol Hashem. Or you can say that when it comes to for Hesia, the Avera becomes transformed into a Chumas Avera. That a normal Avera, when done in public, is so much worse. Then now it becomes one of the big three. It becomes actually a big three Avera. And the same thing with Shas Hashman is you can say that now it becomes a Chil Hashem, or a Kiyum in Kiddush Hashem, more proactive, because you're trying to stand up for Yagos. Or you can say that when it comes to Shas Hashman, everything becomes transformed. Everything becomes a different type of Avera, and now it becomes a Chumash Avera, it becomes transformed. Now, here's a really important question. Are you allowed to give up your life for non-big three mitzvahs? So for example, God comes over to you and says, eat this cheeseburger, I'll kill you. V'chai Adam says you're allowed to eat that cheeseburger. Are you allowed to be machmir and say, no, bring it, take my life? So Ezra shaking his head, no. So why? Because Lishri Tasso, he thinks that V'chai Adam is a chiv. He thinks V'chai Adam is a mitzvah. You have to eat the cheeseburger. Does anyone want to argue the opposite?
It's not just like a heter b'chai b'hem. It's not like giving you good advice all you're allowed to be like, it's b'chai b'hem.
It's a chiyuv. And we're going to read the Rambam who says that in a moment. But Tosfos, what?
Maybe it's a heter.
Maybe it's a heter.
You can choose to do it.
So Ezra is zoned in. He's in tunnel vision.
It says in the pasuk, Asher Yaseh Osamha Odom b'chai b'hem.
You could.
But we never say anything to heter. The guy's an idiot.
So we have a lot of very single-minded opinions in this classroom. So we'll stick it out, and I'll show you the beauty behind Tosfos, based on everything we've been saying. So let's first read it inside. So if you read source number 4, second line, so Tosfos Rambam brings this case. He says, "Ketzad sheyamod oved kochavim ve'anos es Yisrael abur al achas mikol mitzvos amuros b'torah o yargin." So a guy comes over to you and says, "Violate this mitzvah, or I'll kill you." So what does Rambam say? "Yavur ba yarei." You have to violate the avera, and you can't give up your life. You should live by the mitzvahs, and this is the key line. If he says, no, I'm giving up my life, this guy is basically a murderer. He has killed himself. He has committed suicide. Now the Rambam and the Ramban holds the same thing, but Tosfos, very interestingly, says, source number 5, he says, if you want to be machmir and give up your life, you're allowed to. Now, we have maybe saying this guy is a shrota gamur. We have Ezra shaking his head, he just can't believe this. And the question is, what's close to the svar? What's the svar? So, let's take a step back. What happens, what does V'chai Behem do? Right? What does V'chai Behem do? So if you think V'chai Behem knocks out the Avera, then there is no longer an avera there. The chai behem is not an avera. You're right now, the guy is saying, eat this cheeseburger, I'll kill you. In your eyes, it's basically commit suicide or eat the cheeseburger. There's no avera, eat the cheeseburger. The avera is no longer there. So in the Rambam's eyes, you have to eat the cheeseburger. Because if you don't, you're literally committing suicide. What's the other option? If you think that what happens by the big three is that there's, number one, a chumras ha'avera, which doesn't happen here, but there's also a kiddush Hashem. So then in this case, you don't have to give up your life because you can eat the cheeseburger. There's no avera there, but there's still a kiddush Hashem there of saying, no, I'm going to give up my life for these principles. Now the machlokas could be, can there be a kiyum kiddush Hashem when the avera is not there? Is the kiddush Hashem building off of the avera? So there has to be a foundation of an avera there, and the kiddush Hashem is stemming from the avera. Or just in principle, since this guy wants you to violate an avera, that creates the kiddush Hashem. Step number two, one second. Step number two is, if we think of a chayim as a gilui, and if a chayim never knocks out the avera, it just tells you the nature of averos is that you don't have to give up your life for them. It's not a tool. It's a megala of the nature of mitzvos. Mitzvos were given to live by them, to build yourself, to build your relationship with them, opportunities for you, not to, you know, to kill you. So then the question is, is the chayim a commandment that this is the nature of mitzvos and don't give up your life? Or is it a hector? You don't have to give up your life. You're allowed to. Now, one second. Fundamentally, that doesn't make sense. If it's not a chumras avera, why should you be allowed to give up your life? So the avera is still there. The avera never got knocked down. And even if you're going to say, okay, that's not enough, because this is not a chumras avera, we can talk about the kiddush Hashem now. Because the kiddush Hashem is still there, and the avera is still there. In this case, the avera didn't get knocked down. So even if you argue that kiddush Hashem has to be building off of the foundation of an actual avera, in this case, it might not be a chumras avera. It might not be fundamental. You have to give up your life because it's such a terrible avera, but the avera is still there. And either the avera is enough that you can you have the opportunity to give up your life, or if that's enough, that since the avera still has the foundation of being there, the kiddush Hashem can still exist. And that could be Tosu Zusara, is that there's still an opportunity of Kiddush Hashem / the Chayben just a Heter, not a Chiv.
I think that the Rambam is saying his opinion, and he thinks that it's a Chiv, and meaning like a mitzvah, and because he is Leshi Tosu, that you can't say that the mitzvahs are ends in and of themselves.
Okay.
So that if they're not ends in and of themselves, then... And he's saying that because he thinks they can't be according to the nature of God and stuff like his whole philosophical outline. So he says that they're not ends in and of themselves. So when they're not ends in and of themselves, so if your life is going to end for this, this is not an end that you want, that is valued more than your life.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So therefore you're not allowed to give up your life for it.
Exactly.
Because it's not a mitzvah in that
exactly.
case. So if you say that you can give up your life in that case, that means that you think that these mitzvahs are more than means. And you think that valued in and of themselves and are more valuable than your life.
So this is kind of bending into more philosophical discussion.
Right, so that's what I think.
Which I will tell you, that's the nature of what it means to give up your life and be moser nefesh.
Mm-hmm.
Is being moser nefesh a b'di'eved or a l'chatchila? And it depends on the perspective on that situation. According to the Rambam, it's b'di'eved, b'di'eved. And we know that. It becomes a chachil in certain situations, but not as a norm, not as a standard. According to the Rambam, only in certain situations it becomes a chachil. In other situations, we don't want you getting anywhere near there. Why would you give up your life? But according to Tosos, we can talk about, you know, kind of the idealism and what Kishon represents and how it really meshes your consciousness with certain values, and that becomes the ultimate end of really giving up your life. That's what, you know, the Nefesh HaChaim talks about. The absolute greatest characteristic of Klai Yisrael is the ability to be Moshe Nefesh, which we got from Yitzchak. And it becomes a whole different discussion of, you know, is this really like, you know, we want to get away from the serious Nefesh as much as possible, except for those situations where we absolutely must, versus any opportunity, you might not have to, but we're looking for theoretical opportunities to stand up for the principles which represent our absolute identity. So it becomes a much more philosophical discussion that I don't really want to get into now, but we can give a whole shiur on the nature of this.
The problem given with the philosophy is that
in the sociocultural context, the idea of giving up the life is much more accepted than the Rambam. If I just suppose they would kill.
So I didn't want to bring in the historical aspects, but we have legends of Bali Tosfos, you know, really, you know, giving up their life, riding, you know, Perushim with their blood as the night before they're going to die. So you can talk about the historical elements of Bali Tosfos themselves representing that, but it's also based off of the actual principles.
How much is their psyche is based on Allah? How much is
I would say 100%, but this is a very, very interesting discussion, which gets to the subjective element of every posuk. So you're going to be passing based on the way you see the sugya, but how do you see the sugya? So, for example, if you take a step back to become objective, you'll see all sides. If you're a human being, and you're saying, this is what I believe in, how can anyone be a posuk? How can, with the concept of Netiyas Neshama, I can see the truth, which is what I try to do in these sugyas, of all signs. So how are you ever supposed to paskin? Based on what you feel to be the emes, based on your consciousness. Now, how do you know what the emes is? So the Rambam thinks the emes is A, Tosos thinks B, but you,
it's coming from that
it comes from a certain consciousness which you've built based on your life experience and who you are. So, you know, the situation of the Jewish people at the time, the situation of you as a Bali Tosos, you're writing your parish. So these are all
Tosmonos,
but it comes from the way that you're reading the Sugya.
Yes.
Which might become.
But when
you know,
I try, when I want to be posek according to Rambam or according to support, and I know the context of the support and the Rambam, then it's not how it's not only how me as a Baal to support, I see this to be on how I'm living, but then the generations after are going to come after me.
But let's just make something very, very clear. Tosos has absolutely 100% grounding in the sugi itself, which is what I've just explained. When you're paskening, you're not paskening based off of the Tosos situation. Tosos as a shita might represent his perspective on a sugi, and there might be other chashmonos that have to do with that. He didn't make his decision because of those circumstances. They might have affected it.
There's an important element of Masura when it comes to Mizak and learning the sugi. Is that, like, as interesting as the cultural connections are, I'm often hesitant to say those kinds of things because, like, there's he learned the sugya a certain way because he has the Masora from his Rebbeim, like that.
So, let me just tell you, factors of learning a sugya come from, obviously, your education, your Rebbeim, your Masora. It comes from the experience you've had in your life. It comes from the tools you have and how to learn. It comes from, you know, the way that you're taught to approach things, and based on the way that you saw, for example, let's say the Rambam asked his question to Tosfos. Tosfos would answer that. I just don't feel that you have to make that connection or go that step. They're reading the sugya differently. Now, if you want to understand the human psyche and human consciousness and how we make any decision, you can spend your whole life trying to understand that. But to say that Tosfos made his decision because of the cultural and historical situation...
I agree with you that it could be a factor. But therefore, for Poseco's coming in a different generation,
Agreed. It has nothing to do with the historical or cultural component.
Okay. I think an interesting idea that I thought of because you said about talking about the Moser Nefesh and what would you be Moser Nefesh for, and that's so the Gemara says that the reason that we don't have Nisim Kaliyim anymore is because we're not willing to be Moser our Nefesh on the values that we feel, so that the Nisim
Gulim
are going to come out because we're not
going to... Because of the Urias Adoros, basically Hashem will put us in a situation where we're going to fail because we wouldn't have given up our life anyways.
Right, so we don't care enough about the stuff so that the system's not going to be breached because...
Exactly. It's a kind of getting us... It's like you can make an excuse that, listen, you know, like there was no Nisim Gulim, therefore I didn't do X. But if there were Nisim Gulim and we still didn't do it, we'd have no excuse, so Christ brought those in close to the situation in the first place. Okay, yeah.
Right, and then we say that Shachar Sof Kol Alayla, that's how Esther is Sof Kol Anisim.
Okay.
So Esther is the Sof of Anisim because she was the last one to be like Moser her life on like something like that, and now we don't do that anymore.
Okay. I like that a lot. Okay, so let's now take the next step. The next step is what about risking your life to save someone else? So, would you be allowed to enter into tremendous risk to save someone else? So based on what we just said, it depends. If you think that V'chai Bem knocks out Averos, then V'chai Bem applies here, so there would be no risk to save the person's life. But if you think that the chayim doesn't knock it out, he just says you don't have to give up your life for this, the mitzvah of osama demrecha is still there. So you'd still be allowed to be mekayim osama demrecha to save a person's life. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tremendously mechadish idea, which is that even if you hold that normally the osama demrecha does get knocked out, or sorry, mitzvahs get knocked out when it comes to pikuach nefesh, when it comes to osamod, it doesn't. Why? Because the whole principle of b'chai b'hem is saying Hashem values your life more than a mitzvah. So when it comes to your life versus a mitzvah, your life trumps the mitzvah. Your life is more important. But in this case, it's your life versus another life. So the principle of Hashem values life, therefore the mitzvah gets knocked out, doesn't apply because Hashem values his life too. Now, you don't have to do it because my chazis, but to say that there's no mitzvah l'sam demerecha, according to Moshe, there's always a mitzvah l'sam demerecha, and you're always allowed to risk your life to save someone else. Giving up your life, what about giving up your life to save someone else? So then we can say my chazis. When it comes to a risk to your life, we can say that you could. When it comes to giving up your life, you can't choose. Why should you choose his life over your life? That's not your right to choose.
Moshe would say, like, if I'm not a firefighter,
under
Samadha Patre, you know, I don't know how to save
this person. Oh, according to Moshe, you don't have to. There's no chiyuv, there's a heter. You're allowed to. The mitzvah's still behind the scenes.
Remember, he's saying that in place there's still, lo samadha l'amreyecha, you should really try to do that.
No. In terms of should, that gets interesting. Chiyuv, there's no chiyuv. There's a patur because of v'chaybem. Right? But v'chaybem doesn't knock out the mitzvah here. Meaning that you have no chiyuv here because it's a risk to your life. Losam Rechad does not extend to risking your life as a chiyuv, but there's never a point where you can say that there's no mitzvah to save a person's life. There's always a mitzvah. The mitzvah
is still. You say, I don't have the skills to save this person's life.
According to Moshe, you can say that even if you do have the skills, if it's a tremendous risk because you're not chiyuv. But there's still. Basically, what he's saying is that it wouldn't be usher to risk your life to save someone else.
And if I don't have the skill set?
He said it wouldn't be usher. You don't have to, there's no chiyuv, but it won't be awesome. Now you're going to say, let's say you have literally no chance of saving his life, so then you might say that this is not really a question of saving his life. This is a question of committing suicide, and then you define that as not an act of trying to save his life, but an act of stupidity, like you were saying before, that he is, basically a chas v'shote. Exactly. So now let's take the next step. What about saving Klal Yisrael? So now we get into a very fascinating discussion. So I'll quote you the famous case of these two twigs. So if you look at source number 8, it's actually, Rashi quotes it too, but it's more clearly written down by Rabbeinu Gershom. He says, Shepam achas nimtzos bas melech haruga u'mishlachas birchot. So one time they found the king's daughter who was killed. So what happened? So v'lomo damiharga, they didn't know who killed her. So the king, obviously, like it happened in those days, they accused the Jews. So they claimed that the Jews did it. So the king wanted to kill everyone. So you have this case, classic libel, all right? The king's daughter was killed, no one knew who killed her, and they blamed it on the Jews. And the king was going to kill everyone. Until what happened? Until these two people came. And Linus and Pappus, there's always a tongue twister to say that name, Linus and Pappus, and Umasra Atzin, they gave up their lives, Amr Shehin Hargua, Vasilus Kulamayelo. So they came up and they said, we did it. We killed the king's daughter. So they didn't do it. They didn't do it. But they took the blame for it and gave up their lives to save Klal Yisrael. Now the question is, this seems to be a proof that you're allowed to give up your life to save Klal Yisrael. Right? We're not talking about every Jew in the entire world, because we're talking about a clown. But it seems to be that you are allowed to give up your life to save Klal Yisrael. So we can ask a couple interesting questions. Number one, why do they both have to do it? Why not just one of them? We're not going to talk about that, but that's just like an interesting question. They're brothers, I think. I think they're brothers. But I can just imagine like a machlokas between them, like, I'm going to do it. And then just like, that's just an interesting question. Like, really, halakhically, it might be that only one of them should have, been able to do it because one of them unnecessarily gave up his life. But the second question is this a proof? What do you guys think? Is this Moshe Feinstein thinks this is a clear proof? If you look at source number 9, he says, Shepopos Linus Achin, there we go, brothers, She'omru al Afman Sheker, Sheim Hargu Bas Melch Kedil Hatzis Yisrael. And then he says, look at the last four words. He says, Mishum Da Hatzol Yisrael, Shiny. Because it was Hatzol Yisrael, it was Mutter. So what would you argue? I'll give you a hint. There's, you know, first of all, the Tzitzel Eliezer and Rav Yosef, I think it's them too. They argue. A lot of people argue in Rav Yosef. They say, you're not allowed to give it, like, you didn't say Klai Yisrael. The question is, what would they say about this case? Clearly, these two guys gave up their lives and they saved Klai Yisrael.
I mean, you could be without it, but they were in this cloud.
Ah!
You know,
I purposely skipped to look at the second line of Moshe. He says, in the middle of the second line, he says, Af shemashma shehem lo hayu b'chlal ha'gzera. So he says, it's obvious they weren't going to be killed. So Nazi says, what are you talking about? Why did they come forward? Because they're clearly living in this domain. They're part of this klal. So think of it like this. If everyone's going to die, including you, and you give up your life to save them, is that because you're giving up your life to save Klal Yisrael? So Nadi is saying no. And that's what a lot of Achronim say, is that this is not giving up life to save Klal Yisrael. This is, you're going to die anyways, so you just kind of say, I'll die instead of me dying and everyone dying. It's not you versus the Klal. It's you and the Klal versus just you. Now, I was about to say,
yeah.
So two things. Number one is that Rav Moshe is saying it's not true. They weren't going to die, so this is a proof. That's more of a Matthias question. But another question, which we'll get to much more later on in the year, is Chai Shah. Moments of life. So they're going to die, theoretically, in a week, a month, a year. It takes a long time to just wipe out a nation, even systematically. So, you know, second of all, they might escape. Okay? So, third of all, they might change his mind and not end up killing everyone. So there's a lot of ifs and buts and maybes here. So, and even if everything does succeed, it's not going to happen for a while. So you're saying now that the time of your life, let's say a week, a month, a year, is nothing. And that's not considered giving up life. That's considered giving up something. Their emotion's not arguing that. Emotion's saying that this was mamish, they weren't going to die. So it's really giving up life. But we can talk about the value of Chai Shah. The Gemara in Yoma, Daf Kehei, says that you're allowed to violate Shah to save life, even if you're only going to live Chai Shah. So you can save a life. You can violate Shabbos even to save moments of life. Life is valuable. So we can talk about, you know, whether or not giving up your Chai Shah to save someone is considered giving up your life to save someone. But that's a very interesting and separate discussion. Okay. So now let's move on to our last case. And this was our case of the woman who was considering... Remember the case we've mentioned in the beginning. A group of Jews are surrounded by Goyim, and a woman who is very attractive decides that I'm going to seduce the general, the head guy, and by seducing him, I'm going to save everyone else. So I'm going to violate Arias, and I'm going to save everyone else. So we have a very interesting, you know, association with Purim, where Esther did the same thing. Where Esther... We'll talk about Esther, because Esther seemingly also had a rise with Ahasuerus to save Klal Yisrael. So, let's talk about Esther. Why was what Esther did mutter? So, first of all, let's read the Gemara back on source number one. So, turn back to the very first source. Okay, turn to the first source, number E. The Gemara asks a question about Esther. It says, Esther befarhesia havi. Esther was farhesia. Why was Esther allowed to have a rise with Achashverosh? And it gives two answers. It says, Amar bai Esther karka olam haisa, and Rav Amar hanas asman shami. So we have these two interesting answers. One is that she was passive, and the other is that it was for Achashverosh's own personal benefit.
What's the difference?
So one is that, we'll talk about the difference. Matthias is the same thing, that she was passive. But number two is, even if she wasn't passive, since this was for his own benefit, I was much better. We have to ask the question, why does Karka Olam slash Nos Asim help?
Why does his benefit mean?
Exactly. So that's going to be our question. Why would these two help? So let's remember what we've been discussing this entire time. Okay? If we think that the whole reason that you have to give up your life for Arias is because of Chumras HaAveira. Well, before we do that, let's ask a very interesting question. The Gemara doesn't ask, why did Esther have Arias with Ahasuerus? The Gemara asks, it was for Hestia. So, a better question would be, Esther violated Arias with Ahasuerus. So, let's build this, so we only have a couple minutes left, but let's try to build this. Because this is, you know, very interesting, relates to what we're about to get to in Purim. Why do you have to give up your life for Arias? So if you think the reason you have to give up your life to prevent Gil Arias is because of the Chumras HaAveira, because the Aveira is so terrible, so then why was what Esther did with Ahasuerus mutter? The first answer is, like Rabbi Tam says, which is that Bias Goy is not Gil Arias. Having Bia with a Goy is not a problem. It's not Gil Arias. Why? Because a Goy has no Zera. Halachically, the Zera of a Goy is Zera Ksusa.
Whoa.
Right?
That's big.
That is big. It's a tremendously Mechavei Shita. And therefore, there's no Gil Arias.
Who says this?
Rabbi Tam. Tosos daf Sanhedrin daf Ein Dal. What?
The woman's nivala to a goy. Nivala
pasala. So exactly, and that's the question Rivam asked. So all these cases of where we see that it does have a good. So one second. So we're talking about number one, a case of onis. Okay, and we're also talking about theoretically, according to Ben Tami, you would still be aser labam. We're talking about giving up your life, and according to that, you would not have to give up your life for this case. Now the question that, according to that, the Gemara is only dealing with Farhesi issues. I mean, understanding, according to Rabbi Tam, Bias Goy is not Gil Arias, but what about the fact that this is a tremendous Chil Hashan? So the Gemara gives two answers. One is that she was passive, but since she is passive, no Chil Hashan. Second answer is that this was for his own benefit. Everyone knew that this was just, it wasn't Lahachis, like he wanted to make her do the Avir of Arias. He was interested in his own, you know, selfish desires, and that's why he was doing this. So there would be no Chil Hashan. But if you think, like most do, and like all you guys are saying, what are you talking about? Like Rivam, who says, no, Bias Goy is Bia, and it would be Yar Vayavor. So if that's true, then what's Esther doing? How is Esther allowed to be with Ahasuerus? So then the Rivam says that Karka Olam is Mutter for us. Being passive is Mutter. Now the question is, why is being passive mutter by Arias? So number one, you can say that when you're passive, I mean, if someone says, have Arias with me or I'll kill you, and you're passive, you don't do anything, you just lie there. So that's not considered a minus Arias. It's not Arias. Like, he violated you, but you didn't have Bia with him. Or you can say that that's considered Arias, but there's no Maisa. And since there's no Maisa, it's not Yad Valyav. We can talk about the fact that there was Arias here, but giving up your life to prevent that, if there's no mice, you don't have to give up your life. But we can say, right, that this is, you know, theoretical, but you can also say that part of the Isser of Arias is Begida. Part of the Isser of Arias, in terms of losing your life, is that there's a very special relationship between you and your husband, in this case, because we're talking about a woman. And therefore, you cannot break that bond, that relationship. And you have to even give up your life to prevent that. The relationship between man and wife is a negative relationship between Klai Yisrael Hashem, and you cannot violate that tremendously kadosh bond. However, when you're karka olam, there's no begida. When you're passive, it's not considered to be a betrayal. Begida is a betrayal. There's no betrayal of your relationship with your husband. And therefore, you don't have to give up your life for that. Right? Now,
your sister would be different.
What?
Your sister would be different.
So we can talk about that. So that's the question of, you know, different types of Arias. Do you have to give up your life for all different Arias? What's the nature of, I mean, just for the record, the Gemara is talking about a case of a namarasa who's raped. And the question is, we're talking about raping someone who's married. So let's talk about the Gita. It's talking about a relationship of Arias, of man and woman. So we can talk about, do you have to give up your life for all Arias? If it's about just the Isser Arias, not because of the Begida, so then this is not a good chil. I'm just talking theoretically, that we could make a distinction between, you know, incest versus a betrayal of a marital bond. And theoretically, this wouldn't be a betrayal of a marital bond. Now, what's really important, though, is that there would still be a chil Hashem here, even if there's no Avira, because it's for Hesia. So then the Gemara gives two answers. The Gemara doesn't even talk about the Maisa Arias because it was Mutter. But the Gemara still has a problem with Farhesia. Now the third option, which is the most Mechadish option, the Baal Mor, is that Arias, remember, we had two options. Why do you have to give up your life for a big three? One is Chumras Avera. The second is, what's the second option? It's either Chumras Avera or Kiddush Hashem. According to that, all mitzvahs get knocked down. There's no Chumras Avera. It's just a problem with Kiddush Hashem. So when the Gemara is talking about for Hestia, which is a problem with Kiddush Hashem, theoretically, it's also talking about, included with that, it's like in B'chabas Haimana, included within for Hestia is the Avera of Arias. All you have to get out of the problem is Kiddush Hashem. And then the Gemara gives two answers. Number one, there's no problem with Chil Hashem here because it's Karka Olam, she's passive. Number two, there's no problem because, like Shai says, what does Hanas Atzman do for Arias? Hanas Atzman gets rid of the Chil Hashem. Because when people hear that you had Arias, they'll say, how can you do that? How can you desecrate it? But when they know that the only reason you had Arias is because this guy is, you know, is full of desire, and he's only doing it because he wants to get the pleasure, that's not Chil Hashem. So that would be the answer to Chil Hashem. Yeah.
So then if you were to do it where no one would find out at all, that would be fine.
So according to the Baal Mor, where the only problem is Chil Hashem, the answer is, according to how you're saying theoretically yes, the practically answer is no, because the whole principle is that these things always get out. That's the whole thing. Why even Bitsina, that's the chiddush of the big three, is that even Bitsina, when it's not the Farhasia, you still have to do that for life because the word gets out. And just for the record, you see that in the newspapers where, you know, scandals.
Yeah, newspapers, when it's scandals, like famous celebrities.
But
it's Joe
even,
Schmo.
Even Joe Schmo. Scandals, all the time you hear these scandals. So that would be basically.
What you don't hear.
Maybe you don't hear the ones you don't hear because they don't exist. I like to hope that there are no other ones. But now we get to our last question. It's probably a little late, so we'll end just a couple minutes late. The last question is that this only works for the classic cases of Esther where she was passive. But we know one time where Esther was active. Where was Esther? Where did Esther actively have Bia with Ahasuerus?
First time.
What?
First time.
Not the first time.
No, not the first.
She was
first
taken
time.
That first time.
Not the first time. When she goes.
When she goes, exactly. When she goes to ask Ahasuerus to come to her meal with Haman. The Gemara says that Kasher Avati Avadi is, I'll show you the Gemara, look at source number 12. Shebechol yom v'yom ha'achshav ba'omis, v'achshav v'ratza. V'kasher Avati Avadi, kasher shevati mi'bayis, avo kach ovi dinecha. Meaning that just like I will be lost, literally, physically, I'm now going to be usher to you. And now since she's going to ratza, she's going to be usher to Mordechai. Yeah.
So as Tos was saying on top in source 10, Ihai Sadni Velos Beratzon Haitachayevis, Rafal Gavshi Karkolon.
So that's talking about a different case. That's talking about a case where you actively went over to someone to have deal with them, and then in the act itself, you were passive. I was going to bring that, we don't have enough time to go into
that. This is worse than that.
Why?
Because she's going Beratzon and she's not Karkolon.
Exactly. So that's our question, is how was she able to do that?
So why is Tos was saying,
that's a different case. It's talking about individual, and that's talking about a case where we're talking about onish here. Onish. Mm-hmm. He's saying you'd be chayiv nisa for that case. So our question is, well, I'll talk about that Tosfos after because I was going to bring him for a different point. The question here is, how was Esther allowed to actively have bia without karka olam? Seems to be favors pashut absolute us. You have to give up your life. So what do you guys think? Why was the mother?
Sakhi
Rabin. Or to save Klal Yisrael. So let's just give three basic answers. Number one is Aver Lishma. So the Gemara talks about the concept of Aver Lishma. Does anyone know what that is? So basically, Aver Lishma, yeah?
Is doing Aver with, like, for the purpose of accomplishing something.
Exactly. So every Aver Mitzvah has two components. The Maisa. By the way, you guys can leave whenever you want. All right, I know we're going. We started a little late. We're going a little over.
Because I got to be back in 5 minutes.
So if you guys want to leave, absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. But we'll just still finish this up. So there's two components of every mitzvah of Aver. One is the mice itself, and then there's the intent. There's the intent that you have. So a mitzvah shelo lishma is when you do the right action, but you don't have the right intent. But Avera lishma is where you do the wrong action, or an action which is objectively disgusting, but for the right reasons. So some examples. Our Lot's daughters had this maisa bia with Lot, which is disgusting, but they did it, according to Chazal, because they were trying to save humanity. When you have, for example, Yael, who had Bia seven times according to the Gemara and Nazir with Sisera, she did it for the sake of saving Klal Yisrael. She did it lishma. And when it comes to Esther, she did this to save Klal Yisrael. So we can talk about Avir lishma, what becomes, what happens to the Avira? Does the Avira get knocked out? Does the Avira kind of, it's an Avira but not as bad of an Avira? Or does the Avira get transformed, kind of like Shlomo was saying before, that it gets transformed into a mitzvah? Which we can talk about the same parallel when it comes to Asa de Cholos Asai, what happens to the Lil Sasai. Yeah.
Here in the case of Yael and Esther,
mm-hmm.
they were, at least in the second case of Esther, Yael, I think there's a difference that they go by their own, not, I don't want to say desire, but because they want to help. In the case of being passive, is because somebody through Kfiya is putting on you the decision of going to the Shoshana or not. It's not because I, by myself, I decided that I'm going to go with Sisera, and I'm going to have Bia with me, and as soon as I can, I kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And stay the second time also. But on the other side, when there is Kfiya, like, it's somebody who is forcing you to have this Bia. So then what happens in the case that the person who's having via the Jews after via the goy does it in a passive way. So it's about an Isura Hana'a.
Mm-hmm.
So when Ya'el goes with Sisera, like there is an Isur for the Hana'a.
Okay. But then the Gemara talks about that, and then she says that Tzadikas, not Tzadik, doesn't get Hana'a from being Messiah to Russia. So this is exactly what you're saying. The most fundamental part of Avir Lishma is that you can't have any benefit. You can't have any subjective ego aspect of self-desire, because then it becomes lishma. And therefore, they talk about this case where it was lishma. But if you don't agree with Avir Lishma, if you read the Kovetz Aros I brought to you, he talks about Avir Lishma. But another answer, like Yisrael was saying, is that this is Tzarech Rabin. She was saving Klal Yisrael. Mordechai tells her, maybe this was the whole reason that you were selected as queen for this very moment to save Klal Yisrael. You have to go. And just for the record, can you imagine? Esther was with Ahasuerus for years, Karka Olam, the Hector. And now Mordechai is saying, after all that, I want you not to go actively to Ahasuerus. Can you imagine for her, like the mysterious effort she had to be Karka Olam all the time, and now know you have to go ruin it to save Klal Yisrael? Must have been crazy. But you're saying his mother. So these two answers are Avir Lishma or Hatzalus Rabin. If you look at the Meiri, source number 16, talks about Yael, he says Hatzalus Rabin Shain. So we have these two kind of different ideas about Avir Lishma versus Hatzalus Rabin or Hatzalus Klal Yisrael. The only problem is that it might be only for Hatzalus Klal Yisrael. The case that we're talking about, this woman that was going to seduce this man, it's not Klal Yisrael. It's only this group of Jews. Number two is that we can't use the svara of Karka Olam of Esther because she's initiating the act. First of all, it might not be an ones because she's initiating it. Now, the situation is an ones because this is a terrible situation, but the situation of Rice is not ones. She's initiating that. And the Meiri says that if you initiate it, even if the Maisa Bia is still passive, since you're initiating the act, you're initiating the process, it's no longer considered Karka Olam. And there's a machlokas, according to Nozbi Huda, this would not be mutter, only a soul is Klal Yisrael. But according to the Beis Yaakov, even a soul is Rabin would be mutter. So just to kind of give a quick summary, we saw the basic nature of the big three, which is either a Chumr Sa'avera, or you have a Kiyam Kiddush Hashem to give up your life, to be Moser Nefesh for these values. We saw how theoretically the Kiddush Hashem could stem from the Chumr Sa'avera. We said that the Chayben by all of the mitzvahs either knocks out the Avera or is Megal that you never have to give up your life. When it comes to giving up your life proactively for non-big three mitzvahs, we have machlokas whether, like Ezra is very emphatic about it, there's a Chiyav, like the Rambam says of the Chayben, you have to violate the Avera. Or like Tosaf says, you're allowed to give up your life, and the question is that because the Avera is still there, or because there's a Kiyum in Kiddush Hashem. When it comes to risking your life, we saw how theoretically it would be usher if the Avera gets knocked out, theoretically mutter if the mitzvah is still there. And when it comes to giving up your life or violating the big three, how theoretically to save Klal Yisrael, save the Rabin, would be mutter, but not according to some, because you are never allowed to violate these things.